When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Fistful of Collars. Howell, Reed and Chase in the studio once again. And man, I think the big news that we are all super pumped about is the fact that Pants is right around the corner. It's like a week away.
Pants! 1 week!
Yeah, some guys are preparing really hard for this.
Preparing differently than others. So, yeah. You know.
That's how we masters do it, man.
But yeah, shout out to Megaton, the absolute legend, man. That guy, wow. It's I don't think anybody embodies like a lifelong passion for jiu-jitsu quite like Megaton does, right?
I want to say it's his like 24th straight appearance at Pans.
Wow.
Like, I mean, I might be making that up, but it's
up. Probably close to that.
I think it's 23rd because I believe that the first Pans was in 1996 in Hawaii. And I imagine that, well, I mean, you can count the amount of tournaments the Megaton's missed on one hand, right? He's there at all of them, right?
Yeah.
Legend.
Yeah, what a badass. But yeah, Pans, that's coming up next week. Of course, one of our favorite IBJJF tournaments of the year, one of the biggest IBJJF tournaments of the year. Always brings out the biggest, the best black belts. So that's, you know, we're always looking forward to that one.
Why is it more fun than Worlds? I feel like it's a bit more lighthearted almost. I mean, people are going for it. They're going for the kill, absolutely. But I feel like it's not quite as serious. People seem to be enjoying themselves a bit more.
I don't know. It's pretty serious when the matches are going on.
Yeah.
We've seen some intense stuff going down to Pans the last couple of years. But I know what you're saying. It's like Pans for me kind of feels like Worlds light. Right,
yeah.
It kind of feels like a tune-up for Worlds as well. It really helps set a lot of the storylines going into Worlds, right?
Yeah.
A lot of stuff that kind of happens at Pans is a really good precursor for what, you know, will culminate at Worlds, like the kind of the rivalries, the showdowns, the kind of the divisions kind of taking shape, gives you a good idea of what to expect. But I know what you're saying. I feel like there's it's Worlds is like just super, super serious. But Pans has always got this like really interesting kind of entertaining side to it, I feel.
Well, if you lose at Pans, you still got Worlds.
Right.
You know? But if you lose at Worlds,
the season's over.
It's over. Yeah. So, you know, so I feel like if you lose at Pans, you still got time to fix your mistakes, to fix your game, and come back at Worlds and win. So it's maybe just like slightly less pressure, right? Because if you lose at Worlds, then that's the end of the season for you, basically. But I love Pans, man. We always see some good matches there. Leandro always comes out, looks on fire. I remember last year we saw Leandro versus Keenan. JT Torres had a great year last year. This is definitely one of the funner tournaments of the year for sure.
It is, and I'm excited already because it's a very different Pans to what we saw last year as well. You know, I was looking through the list of signups, and you can find those if you go to flowgrappling.com, and then if you go to our events page, click on Pans, and then we've got the tabs across the top, overview, news, et cetera, et cetera. Well, we've got the list of entries, and it's been changing quite a lot the last couple of days, right? We've been refreshing the page like a couple of times a day, and names are switching from division to division. Guys are coming in, guys are dropping out. There's a few notable absences I noticed, like Marcio Andre was signed up. Now, he's now. He's obviously withdrawn his name because I believe that he's still looking after his knee because he injured it in his match with Hernando Canuto.
Mm.
Actually, I tell a lie. He injured his knee in December against Gianni Grippo. Then he fought Hernando Canuto at Kasai at the beginning of February.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's never really been
Also had a match
right.
with Mateus Gabriel in between those two.
He did, that's right. Literally like the week before, I believe.
Yes.
So I think that it's come to the point where Marcio has had to say, okay, like, I got to take care of this. Because he's going to be focused
Plus
on Worlds.
Plus, I think he's having a kid soon. I think that's happening as well.
I think it's like, imminent,
life.
You know? Yeah, it really is. So, but yeah, anyway, there's guys coming in and guys going out and divisions are changing and stuff. So it's, we're trying to stay on top of all that. But what I think is really interesting to note is the lack of returning champions from last year. Like Gianni Grippo, for example, was champion at featherweight last year. He's out. For the first time in his life, Gianni Grippo has actually managed to overtrain. And he's burned out. It's finally happened, you know, because he's always been one of those guys that we've known is like the hardest working guys in the sport, right? Drills more than anybody. So, so yeah, there's that. But looking through the list of the competitors and stuff, what jumps out for you guys?
I think what jumped out for me, just kind of off the bat, is how many Atos guys are in those divisions. You know,
there are a couple.
It's like each division has like 3, 4 plus
Middleweight has seven. Spread across several different, you know, Atos teams, Atos, Rio Claro, and other things like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's a lot of guys.
That's crazy, man. I obviously, we know they have such a high level team, and a lot of those guys, Dom Bell and some of those brown belts that have made the jump to black belt are now mixing it up in black belt. So it's crowded there at
very
the top
crowded.
in Atos. So it's going to be interesting to see how some of those guys play out. And
look at this right
happens.
Here. The middleweight division has seven Atos guys.
Yeah, wow.
Now, it's kind of gaming the system a little bit because you've always got the A team and the B team, right? So you can have, let's say, Gracie Baja A, Gracie Baja
D team.
Well, that's exactly the case now. They're kind of finding a way to get around that by having the international team and then this team. So you got your Atos A, Atos B, and then you got Atos Brazil and your Atos USA. So they're able to slide in multiple guys. But one thing that really
jumps out for me is that team is becoming so big. It's crazy. They're
I mean, but they're not the only one. Alliance has the same situation going on in the
exactly.
division.
Exactly. And this is a kind of a criticism against Atos in that they're kind of like hoovering up all the guys. But success is going to attract guys, of course, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not like they're, you know, whatever. But anyway, Medium Heavy has four guys from Alliance, four guys from Atos, and it's only a total division of 16. So literally half the division is made up of only two teams. That's it's interesting, right?
Yeah. It is interesting. Do you feel like we need more teams in jiu-jitsu? Is that what that says, maybe?
I feel like we need a cap. I feel that there should be a cap on the number of people. This is where I really like the old school mentality, because remember BJ Penn when when he went to Worlds and he won Worlds like way, way back in the day, first American to ever do so, shout out. He had to basically win the in-house tournament in the gym right to go to the tournament to represent the team, because they had like an in-house trials, and that was just as tough as actually going to win the tournament. You know?
Yeah, I would love to see. I would love to watch those in-house trials. Probably some good matches there.
But I mean, I feel that's kind of a fairer way of doing it, rather than just entering as many guys as you can. And some guys, let's be honest, they don't even have a hope in hell of getting to the podium. You know, some guys are signing up just for the experience of participating. And I feel at certain tournaments, they should put a cap on that. You know, open tournaments, whatever, that's an open thing. But with PANs, especially with the new thing of you need ranking points to even qualify to sign up, I feel that, you know, they should be a little bit more stringent in how many people they allow into the divisions.
I think things get even trickier when we start adding money. So we saw this week that the IBJJF is going to start doing cash prizes at Brasileiros. That's a big deal. It's an open tournament. And I'm super excited that they're doing that. But it does beg the question, okay, now if you can stack the brackets in your favor from guys all on the same team,
interesting.
You know, you can split that prize money. I think that there may be an impetus to sort of limit that scenario a little bit if cash prizes become more of a frequent appearance at these tournaments.
Yeah.
Which I hope it does. You know, that's fantastic to see. And
I was surprised about that. You know, I'm sure I wasn't the only person, but to see that the IBJJF was awarding cash prizes for the black belt divisions at the Brazilian Nationals, I'll be honest, it took me by surprise, because it's been a criticism of the IBJJF for years that they don't pay prize money, which isn't true, because they do offer prize money.
Yeah.
They have a number of tournaments that give cash prizes. They have the BJJ Pro Series, and they have events in New York, San Diego, Rio, Sao Paulo. Then they have the annual ranking, so the number one ranked black belt gets $15,000 at the end of the season. And they also have the approximately annual Grand Prix as well, which, you know, we're expecting the heavyweight Nogi Grand Prix to come up in August. And that's a $40,000 prize. So, you know, you kind of look at that. There's plenty of opportunities to make money, you know, in IBJJF tournaments if you know where to go. But it's the first time that we've seen a cash prize in what they call the majors, right? And the four majors are Europeans, Pans, Brazilian Nationals, and Worlds. So the question is, do you think that we're going to see a cash prize potentially at Euros, at Pans, or at Worlds? What do you think?
I mean, we'll find out. I definitely hope that is the trend. I like that they are also tiering the cash prizes based on participation. So I believe they have four different variations of it, and the one with the most people in it get the most money. I think that's a fair way of doing it. You know, some divisions have four people in it. They didn't work as hard. They didn't work as hard as a guy with 32 people in his division or a gal. So it's fun to see. I'm really excited. I think it's super positive. And let's see what happens at Brasileiro. See how that unfolds.
Yeah, I think, man, you know, it just highlights like what a time for jiu-jitsu at the moment. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's just never been more lucrative. It's never been more popular, obviously. It's, you know, and it just shows that, you know, the sport is continuing to grow, and IBJJF now offering more and more money, more and more opportunities to win money. You know, and man, I mean, we talk about this all the time, but there's literally events every single weekend now, yeah, you know, between Fight to Win. We had a Spider last weekend, you know, which is, I feel like, such a great professional event that's really pushing the sport forward as well. So I think
there was Grand Slam and King of Mats.
Yeah, as I say, we're skipping over the Grand Slam, which was insane.
And King of Mats, they're giving out money too. So there are a lot of opportunities, I think, you know, more than ever, right, for these athletes who are dedicating themselves to the sport that they love, that they have passion for, and now they're getting more and more opportunities to make a living from it. So it's just it's an amazing time for jiu-jitsu. Absolutely.
It is. You know, one thing I like about the cash prizes on offer at the Brazilian Nationals as well is that they're the same for men and women. Mm-hmm. There's no difference. But as you mentioned, there is a sliding scale. So, you know, if you have like up to 8 people in your bracket, it's this much money. If you have up to 16, it's this much money. And it, you know, it keeps going up depending on the more people in the division. But it doesn't matter. If the men's bracket has 8 and the women's bracket has 8, it's the same cash prize for both those winners.
And that makes complete sense.
As it should be, right?
Yeah, it should. Because that's one of the criticisms is that, you know, that women have always had like a scaled down cash prize. And it's like, well, they kind of do the same work, you know, but you can't
female divisions are a little smaller, usually.
It's true.
So I think more often we probably will see the smaller division cash prizes. But hopefully that brings more women out to those competitions.
True, but then I think it balances it out, because if the men don't get an automatically larger prize, even though the division could potentially be smaller than the women's,
plus,
right?
You might be able to encourage some of your friends or competitors, like, hey, come on, sign up, we'll get bigger, more prize, you know.
Yeah. Money,
so.
true.
Good initiative there.
But yeah, that you were out there in London, right? We just mentioned the London Grand Slam for a minute. That was a wild little tournament, looked like.
It was interesting. Yeah, I got to say, so that was the last one of the season as well. So I was in London last weekend for the UAE Abu Dhabi Grand Slam, London. And we've been following it for the entire season, right? It starts last year, through the middle of the year. It goes Tokyo, Los Angeles, Rio de Janeiro, Abu Dhabi, London. Mm. And then the final stop, the end of the season, is in April. And that is the Abu Dhabi World Pro, which is kind of like the parallel world championships, right? And it's been really interesting to kind of follow the path of the Grand Slam. You know, I went to, I think, 4 of the 5 Grand Slams. I only skipped the Abu Dhabi one in January. Mm-hmm. And to see certain athletes really investing in that series because they saw the opportunity that it afforded them. And the two guys that stand out the most are Gabriel Souza, and whose full name is João Gabriel Batista de Souza. Okay, but his name, everybody sees his name as João Batista and stuff. It's not. Gabriel Souza and Diego Ramalho, both from ZR Team. So basically, Gabriel's a light featherweight and Diego's middleweight. And they decided that they were going to chase after those prizes. And they went to Japan, they went to LA, they went to Rio. They hit up every single Grand Slam. Sometimes they won gold, sometimes they won silver. Gold is a $2,500 cash prize, you know? Silver is, I think, $1,500 or something like that. But the idea was invest in the series, follow as many of the tournaments as you can, get those ranking points, because the grand prize at the end of the season is I don't think it's been confirmed, but last year it was 25,000.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it's exactly the same this year. They haven't released that yet, but $25,000 for the top ranked.
So if you're winning everything, it, yeah. you can get roughly 10. Then there's 25, plus you compete at World Pro, and maybe you medal there.
Yeah.
And there's some more money on top of that. So you could have a sustainable salary, more or less, just from doing the UAE series. Well, you have to win.
You know how this all came about? It was Gabriel Souza last year, 2018. Maybe some of our fans and viewers and listeners will remember this, because we did talk about this at the time. Gabriel Souza was a brown belt at last year's Abu Dhabi World Pro. Okay, he only got his black belt just after Worlds last year.
Yeah.
And he took gold in his weight division, and he took second overall in the brown belt ranking, which also has a cash prize. And that weekend at Abu Dhabi, he went home with $11,000.
Not a bad take for a brown
belt. Not bad at all for a brown belt. And that kind of was the impetus. 11, he was 000. Like, yeah, he was like, oh, okay, that's what's on offer right here. So he went all in on that, and he did tell me last weekend, because he won gold in London last week. He beat Iago George in the final, and then he took third at the Abu Dhabi King of Mats as well, which is another, how much was it? 10, 6, 3, 3 grand, 6 grand. He got, I think it was 5 or 6 grand for King of Mats, and he would have got another 2,500 for London Grand Slam. So again, comes out with $8,500 for one weekend's work, right?
That's a good jet.
Yeah.
I think
it's really interesting, because he said that puts him in a really good spot now. Pretty much nobody's going to be able to take him out from the top spot of the ranking going into World Pro, but he's going to split it with his bro Diego, because they're number 1 and 2 in the rankings.
Oh, really?
So what the deal was, whatever happens, if they finish top 2, then they were going to split it. That's kind of cool, right?
I like that.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's
about
a
that.
Good friend.
I don't know about that. But yeah, I mean, I think you know, good on those guys for getting after it. You know, I think if there's a lot of opportunity there to make a lot of more money, I don't understand why more black belts and more people don't take advantage of that. Because you know, I think exactly like you said, you saw Gabriel understand it and take advantage of it right away, and you know, looks like he's making some money. So
it does make you wonder, though, are some of these guys doing well enough that they don't need to? Kind of makes
you wonder.
I don't
think too right? many are, but who knows? Maybe I'm wrong about that. Seminars seem to be pretty lucrative, but you have to have such a successful career already to kind of make that bank.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a case of it, though, of not oversaturation, because that sounds negative, but there are options.
Yeah.
You can say, I don't want to do that, Clash of the Spider, or I'm looking at Kasai. You know, so the different rule sets and formats available might limit the availability of some of these pro shows, but that's a good problem to have, I think. You know, if you are selective in what you can take, that means you have options. So, like Reed said earlier, it's a fantastic time for professional jiu-jitsu and amazing point in athletes' careers to make some money.
We've got a comment here on our YouTube live stream, actually, from Victor Doria,
saying
that it's the best moment ever, and it's not even close to what it'll be 5 years from now. I think that's a really good point.
Gotta
because,
agree with that.
Yeah, right? We look at jiu-jitsu 5 years ago compared to now, it's night and day. Like, how much more will it grow in 5 years' time? Because we've talked about it a lot, right? The opportunity for professional grapplers, there's so many now, you know, there's Fight to Win, there's, as you said, Spider, there's the Grand Slam series and IBJJF cash prize as well now. It's like, that's a sign of the times, right?
Yeah, I think sponsorships as well is never, you know, been more lucrative. You know, like I was just in Vegas a couple of days ago, you know, and I got to hang out with Hanato Kanuto, Mikey Musumeci, and they're, of course, sponsored by Venom, you know, which is a kind of a very big MMA brand originally. They of course are a jiu-jitsu brand as well, but this is just a lot of big name sponsors, I feel like, kind of coming in and swooping in and sponsoring athletes. And so that's, you know, on top of the prize monies, on top of the, you know, the seminars and things like that, I feel like that there's a lot more opportunity to have some good sponsorships out there too, which hasn't really been in the sport at all before this, I feel like. So
what was the Venom training center like?
Oh man, it was so nice. It was really cool. They've only been open for 8 weeks, they said, but the place is amazing. You know, it's a MMA gym, but it's like one of these new school MMA gyms where it's just you know, everything is just tip top. It's got all the everything you need to basically to be a fighter, to be a jiu-jitsu fighter, you know. So it was a gorgeous training center, and definitely shout out to those guys for having me. It was a lot of fun out there.
Does Hanato Kanuto teach classes, like run a program, or what's happening exactly?
Yeah, absolutely. They him and Raquel run the whole jiu-jitsu program over there, and then of course they have like a whole, you know, like a Muay Thai and boxing kind of section as well, but Hanato and Raquel, Hanato's wife, they run the the classes there, and they teach there three, four times a day, it looks like. And they have women's classes, they have beginner classes, and of course they have kind of during the day their competition classes, because those guys are also getting ready for PANS.
Wow. Speaking of PANS, going back to PANS, actually, it's interesting, right? Because we were talking about there's some big names in, and there's some kind of like some interesting names that aren't there. You know, last year's champions like JT Torres, Keenan Cornelius, Gianni Grippo, they're not signed up. So that kind of opens the door for a brand new set of champions this
year.
Which
is always fun, right?
Which is amazing, because I love seeing kind of like the divisions blood. And trying to predict who's going to come through. But let's talk a little bit about the names who are signed up. They're super excited. Chase, I believe you've been working on a little list.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a tough one to narrow down, but one thing we love to do before big events is pick some dream matches. You know, the brackets are huge, and they don't get released until the day before competition, so, you know, it gives us time to speculate about what might go down. And we've got plenty to work with for PANS. One match that's on the top of my mind that I'm dying to see, I hope it happens, Kynan Duarte versus Leandro Lo.
Oh,
that's the match.
That could happen?
For me, that's the match of the event. I think it's on the tip of everyone's mind. Yeah,
the thing is,
in the heavyweight.
You were talking about that division, right? You were telling me earlier that it's likely to be Leandro versus Kynan or
Patrick Gaugio is the third name. So man. I mean,
is heavyweight?
This is heavyweight, and it's a small division. I think there are 11 or 12 guys, but all of them absolute killers.
So hang on a second. We could potentially see Leandro versus Kynan or Patrick Gaudio that weekend, or even against both of them.
Exactly.
Wow.
So fantastic. But we also have Tim Spriggs, Aaron Tex Johnson, Adam Wardzinski, and Vinicius Ferreira in that division. So just a bunch of murderers. And
so it's a small but mighty division.
Exactly. So definitely keep your eyes peeled for that one. That will take place on Sunday, of course, on the last day
and
of the event.
I mean, obviously Leandro dominates at Worlds too. But PANS seems like it has always been Leandro's tournament. Like, he always dominates at now, especially the last few years, winning the absolute division as well. So that's kind of Leandro's wheelhouse.
Well, you know that this year he potentially could set a new PANS record.
Oh, but he's going to have to go through Kynan or Patrick Gaggia.
And a bunch of other guys, because basically right now Leandro has 8 PANS gold medals, okay, including both weight and absolute. And I think that he actually has them across the most weight categories in history as well, which is mind-blowing. But Andre Galvao also has a crap ton of PANS gold medals. And I need to double check.
Remember when they
fought?
When Andre and Leandro fought in, I think it was like 2016 PANS?
Might have been our first PANS.
Yeah. That was a good match.
There you go. So if Leandro wins one gold medal next week, he ties with Andre Galvao for the most gold medals at PANS ever. But if Leandro wins double gold, he actually will set a new record with 10 gold medals at PANS at black belt.
It's crazy. Wow.
That is wild, right?
Yeah.
Not easy, though. Let's take a little look at some of those divisions. So you mentioned there the heavyweight division, Chase, which has got some absolute killers in there. But, I mean, you know, the absolute's not going to be any easier, right? Throw some names out. Who else
is
signed up?
We have Hulk in there. Mateus Denise is involved. Marilla Santana is in there. But they're friends, so they probably wouldn't fight. Tanner Rice is there. Muhammad Ali. Felipe Andrew. Just tons of guys. Danny Girard. Max Jimenez. And coming in ultra heavy. So
I see that last year's open weight silver medalist Gutenberg Pereira has signed up as well from GF Team. Remember, he took Leandro to the limit in the final there, right? I think it was only 2-0 in favor of Leandro at the end.
Yeah.
Very close.
I'm excited to see Gutenberg. You know, we've seen a couple fight to win performances and things, but you know, the tournaments are always a little bit more fun. So, but I'm excited. We haven't seen Gutenberg in a little while, and he, you know, just the super fights, and he's looked on fire there. I like his new haircut too. I like his,
it
I
is
like,
awesome.
I like his hair.
Very eye catching.
So yeah, that's I'm excited to see. Like you said, you know, the new blood. You know, this year has been already, I feel like, a good year for a lot of new black belts and young black belts, and especially now with not a lot of the returning champions, it leaves the door open for a lot of these guys to make a good name for themselves and have a good year in 2019. Like Kynan, you know, like Levi. Is Levi signed up?
Levi's in. I'm hoping he runs into John Combs. That's my dream matchup for lightweight. Such a clash of styles.
That was one of the names that I'm most excited to see as well, because obviously Levi, you know, broke onto the kind of the collective consciousness of jiu-jitsu at Europeans, but then he came and he took, I want to say, third place at Spider, right?
Yes.
Losing to Caixinho in the semifinals.
By decision.
Very close match. Yeah, very close. Now, actually, that brings up two really interesting points. Number one, it shows that Levi is right there, right? And I'd love to see him bounce back from this, and I want to see what he's going to do at Pants. But it also serves as a reminder that Caixinho is by far one of the toughest, one of the most experienced, and just one of those veterans that you can never, ever count out. That guy is so good.
Levi, you're talking about?
No, Caixinho.
Caixinho is. He took bronze at Pans and Worlds last year. Now, he's Masters eligible as well, as, you know, just remind people of that.
We've seen him win that a couple times too, right?
We have, yeah. But you know, the fact that Caixinho is one of those guys that he's always going to be a serious roadblock to anybody's plans of taking gold. You know, it's like you gotta bring the big guns out to beat that guy.
He's a great game planner. If you watch that match at Spider with Levi, he doesn't let Levi pull guard, and he in fact pulls guard first. You can see Levi's very uncomfortable on top in that scenario, especially with Caixinho's great guard and use of lapels, and he tied him up the whole match. So, you know, when you're going against a veteran like Caixinho, you have to really think about your strategy. And I will say, Levi is fantastic and amazing, but he is pretty predictable. He wants to barambola you, and that's the goal. So if you take him out of his element...
And we all know that the barambola doesn't work.
And Caixinho's in. He's in at lightweight as well. So this definitely, this is interesting, because the lightweight division right now has 25 guys signed up.
It's a huge division.
We could potentially see a rematch as well. So, you know, I'm really excited about that. But the lightweight division, some of these names as well. Kevin Mahecha, Johnny Tama. We got really tough guys like Renato Canuto is in. We got Gabriel Rollo. We got Sinistro, John Combs. We've got Rodrigo Freitas. We got Levi. And actually, we got one guy signed up at lightweight, which I find really interesting, because he actually has a super fight this weekend against Isaac Bayens, and that is Vitor Oliveira. Mm-hmm.
That's going to be a great fight.
Man, Vitor, I've lost count of the amount of weight classes I've seen this guy compete
at. He's a shapeshifter, man. Yeah. He has whatever he wants.
From right. heavy yeah. to down to light. Like.
Seriously, and everything in between. It's mm-hmm. absolutely incredible. It's like, and Vitor is another one of those guys that he is so tough, right? Mm-hmm. So he's going to have a really tough match on his hands this weekend against Isaac Bayens. Now, Isaac, as we like to call him, Isaac, is signed up at middleweight. So what do we expect from that super fight this weekend?
Yeah, well, Vitor definitely is always contending for a gold medal. And no matter any tournament, I feel like he enters, he's obviously capable of winning that. So definitely a guy who's always capable of winning the gold medal. But yeah, like you said, this weekend, fight to win 105, right?
105.
And it's out in Oklahoma. Isaac Bayens versus Vitor Oliveira. I love this matchup. excuse me. We talked a little bit about it last week, you and I, Chase, but I'm not sure exactly how this one is going to go, but of course Vitor is always down to throw some people around.
It's going
to
be like that, right?
I think experience will really show, because Vitor has been on Fight to Win several times, and this is Isaac's first appearance.
That's
so,
right.
You know, Vitor knows the game plan required to win, and I think he'll be going for the kill. But I'm definitely excited to see them clash. I think it'll be nonstop action.
Hard to pick against the 2018 reigning world champion in Isaac Bayens. You know, he's looked great. He looked great at Europeans too, and that guy's evolving like crazy.
Yeah, I mean, Isaac, he took gold at middleweight last year, and important to note that the Vitor actually took bronze at Worlds last year. And Vitor took bronze at lightweight in the same tournament. So, you know, just goes to show that these guys, they're like, you know, anytime you get to the podium of a major tournament like that, you're really good. But I agree, you know, Isaac looked awesome at Europeans. He's been on an absolute tear. I think last year he maybe only lost like two matches. all year. Mm. Like from January through December, I remember he lost to Charles Negromonde really, I think it was either Abu Dhabi or Europeans. It was really early in the year.
Ooh, it was the Abu Dhabi Grand Slam?
Thank you.
Early in the year.
In January. Yes. And then he bounced back and, you know, he like basically went undefeated for like 30 straight matches or something like that. And then he lost a referee's decision at World Series of Grappling in October, which was just a 6-minute, no points match. So, you know,
that was
like
Hibamar?
Yes, yeah. Exactly. So, you know, that was just like a wild year for Isaac. He won everything, right? He won World Pro, he won Marianas Open, he won he won Worlds, and you know, he started off strong already by winning Europeans. Now, I believe his goal this year is he wants to do not just the Grand Slam, he wants to do the Super Grand Slam. He wants to do like Cabrinha did. He wants to win the 4 IBJJF majors and ADCC in September.
And become a Fight to Win champion.
So and another, that's you another. Never know. He maybe do World Pro as well. That's actually another step again. That's like something else. So, yeah.
ADCC Brazilian trials are coming out pretty quickly here, are they not? When does that happen?
End of March? End of the month?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, the competitors list is not technically kind of out right now, but we've seen a few of the names signed up. And Isaac is pretty much the biggest name that most people will recognize. But there is a chance that some more could come in, you know, and I think maybe PANS, the fact that we've seen some guys not sign up for PANS could give us a little bit of a hint as to who some of those guys might be. Gabriel Arge has won gold at PANS last year. He's not signed up right now. Although I did hear he's injured as well. He has a groin injury. So that's a factor. But
he would be a great addition to ADCC, though.
I'd love to see Gabriel in ADCC, yeah.
How much fun is ADCC going to be
so
this
much
year?
Fun.
Oh, my God. It is going to be incredible.
My parents bought tickets. They're already going. they're ready. So.
Yeah, tickets are available as well, actually. And make sure you get those because the promoter, Mo Jassim, has been saying that the prices are going to go up in the next 4 to 6 weeks. And apparently, he's working on some crazy super fights for this year's ADCC.
Ooh, and I believe him.
He said that when those have been confirmed, that the tickets are going to fly out.
Nice.
So Mo likes to go big.
He
right?
does.
He really does.
He doesn't disappoint. So
no. Man, who could that even be? He was talking some crazy names when I spoke to him last. He was like, said he reached out to Khabib about possibly doing a grappling super fight.
Get Connor on
like
there, man.
GSP. I mean, like, you, the names that you would just blow you away. So
Askren. None of those are confirmed, though, so no rumor.
No.
Let's
get
Askren in there. That'd be fun.
Askren versus Dylan. Anybody?
Askren versus Dylan.
Man, they've been going at it, right?
Oh, man, yeah, that's been fun. Have you seen his Boom Roasted
Oh yeah, they definitely
Instagram videos.
Yeah.
Those are hilarious. Those are so funny. But Dylan's trying to get in there too. He's trying to kick back. That'd be a fun match.
Well, Dylan's been invited, right? He's actually he's confirmed for the 77 kilogram division at ADCC, which I think is kind of wild because he did last year at 88 or last time he did 88.
But 2015 he did 77.
Yeah, and it killed him.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, the weight cut was horrific. He really suffered. It was interesting because he did that in August. And then if you remember, Reed, he came back in January 2016 at Copa Podio.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think you even interviewed him backstage before the weigh-ins, right?
Yeah, yeah. That weight cut killed him too.
He was not
happy.
I remember that.
Yeah, yeah. I remember.
Didn't he almost lost his voice because he was so dehydrated?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. It was like right, hopefully he doesn't mind me saying that, like right before the interview, he had to like just like wet his lips with water because he was just like so dead and he couldn't like talk to me.
Wow.
So yeah, we'll see how he does at 77. I think it's a good weight for him. You know, obviously he's only kind of getting bigger, it looks like to me, but
he certainly has time though.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
He knows it's coming. So yeah. Excited to see him back in the cage, by the way. He's going, when was that? May 11th or something? We just put out an article the other day. He's back in the Bellator cage very soon. His suspension is over. So looking forward to seeing him do something.
I love.
Do we know anything about his opponent? Sorry.
I want to say he's 3-1 or something like that.
Or I think he's like maybe 2-3 or something.
2-3, yeah.
Something like that. But you know, I think Bellator is doing a good job. They got to build up these stars.
He's 3-2.
3-2.
His name is Max Humphrey.
Mm-hmm. Hey, 3-2 is not bad.
Yeah.
Right. That's five
more
fights.
Experience.
Dylan's got one basically. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So
man, I love the hate that Dylan Danis gets. Like he's the most hated person on the internet. Anytime anybody talks about Dylan Danis, there is so much hate that comes with it. Everybody hates Dylan Danis. I think it's hilarious, and but I'm a fan, so I think it's fun to watch.
I find it quite interesting that a lot of people who hate him. I'm sure he.
I don't know why people hate him so much. Like, I guess I don't know. Whatever.
But he has his fair share of haters in the jiu-jitsu community. But at least people in jiu-jitsu know what he's capable of. But a lot of the MMA haters that have come along now as well, they don't think that Dylan is even that good of a grappler. I mean, how wrong could they be?
For real, right? For real. I feel like some of these floor wrestling guys, we got to check some of those guys. They don't know.
They're
that,
on the
that Dylan's train. That Dylan's actually legit. Like that Dylan versus Askren, that would be a good match. That would be a competitive match.
I mean, if it was a grappling match, I kind of got to agree with Dylan here. I think that would be pretty easy. I really do. I think that Dylan
I'd like to watch it. Yeah. I definitely like to watch it.
I think Dylan snapped his foot off in a matter of seconds, honestly.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I agree.
I'm not saying that, you know, Funky's not good. Of course he is, right? Yeah. But, no, grappling's a different matter, man. Like, he's going to come in with a shot. Dylan's going to yank that neck off. He's got a killer guillotine.
Yeah. Like, didn't we already figure this out? Like, didn't we already figure out that jiu-jitsu beats wrestling? Didn't we figure that out a long time ago?
Yeah.
I feel like people forgot that, but...
Well, Dylan will be back in action at ADCC later this year, and we are definitely, definitely excited about that. But ADCC trials, we got some European trials coming up at the end of April as well. So, you know, those lists are really starting to fill up because there was the flood of invites in the last kind of like 2-3 weeks, right? And I think some of those divisions are like probably around about 60% complete already. So, you know, they'll always hold a couple of the invites back until almost like the last minute. But you know the trials. There's only two more trials left to go.
Asian trials, three. And Brazilian trials, and European trials.
There you go. So yeah, we got Asian trials in Tokyo. We got European trials in Poland, and then we got Brazilian trials coming up at the end of this month. So, man, when we find out those names, there's only going to be a handful, right?
So yeah, I mean that's. I think most divisions have 10 invites, right, or 10 people total, and then it's a 16-man bracket. So that if there's three more trials. And that means there's only three more invites, too.
Yeah.
After that, so.
You kind of imagine, like, process of elimination, who those people could potentially be, right? Mm-hmm. So.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, you look at the competitor list that we have on there now, and I think each division has about 9 or 10 guys. And it's just, like, especially 77, man, and 66, and 88. Of course, 99, too.
Those are the divisions.
No, but then, like, just looking at those 10 names, it's like, dang, there's all those guys could win. It's gonna be fun.
Yeah, the ADCC trials actually goes down the same weekend as World Pro. I don't think there's that much of a clash there.
There's
a very different kind of pool of talent and stuff. But man, the next couple of weeks are super busy in jiu-jitsu, right? We've got a ton of fighter wins, of course. There's one pretty much every weekend. Kasai Pro is back. Kasai Pro 5 is taking place on April 6th. That's around the corner. That's literally only a couple of weeks away. We're looking forward to
and that heavyweight Grand Prix is just insane.
Like, 205. Wow. I mean, look at that. Stacked, right?
Let's run through the names here real quick. Felipe Pena, Craig Jones, Tim Spriggs, Kainan Duarte, Aaron Tex Johnson, Jackson Souza, Muslim Pasarigov, sorry, buddy, and the qualifier.
Pedro Marino.
Yes, the qualifier winner.
Wow. And we got a nice super fight on there as well, already confirmed. Marcos Tinoco versus Romelu Bahal.
And Edwin Najmi versus Dante Leon. So,
oh, yes, thank you.
Fantastic show setting up already. I believe there could be one more super fight. Maybe not. I don't know.
I imagine there will be. And there's always a stacked undercard as well. But I really like that, man. Romelu and Edwin on the same card, right? The Gracie Baja, Northridge, student and master, you know, coming along, competing side by side. That's really intriguing.
He was retired, but he's not. Romelu's back. I love it. He's going to compete till...
forever.
He's got Marcus the Rabada mentality.
It's interesting. I mean, we all know how good Romelu is, right? No question there.
Yeah.
But Marcos Tinoco's, he's been on a bit of a roll, actually. I really, you know, I've been following him a lot last year because he took an interesting kind of couple of decisions. Number one, he did the Abu Dhabi Grand Slam series as well. He did I think he did everything except Tokyo, right? Mm. He did LA, Rio. He went to Abu Dhabi, right, Chase?
Yes.
Yes, and he did London last weekend, and he took gold at Masters 1. all three of those because he just took
chasing those ranking Bellinger. Points.
Absolutely, and the cash prizes. But last year he won No Gi Pants in New York, pretty savagely as well, like some absolutely horrific submissions, and then took silver at No Gi Worlds. Looked great there, and now kind of like flip flopping between the gi no gi thing. That's what I like about the Marcelo guys. They'll step up in whatever format, right?
Yeah, one weekend they do gi. You know, those guys just fought 2 weekends ago, and that spider,
yeah,
Mateus and Marcus. And now they're doing a no-gi super fight, so it's just like just another day of the week for those guys.
Really is. Marcus Tinoco versus Homolo, man. That's an interesting match, like stylistically. How do you see that one going?
Man, Homolo's been wrestling a lot. You know, he hangs out with Jacob Harmon, and of course, Edwin's also getting ready for ADCC, and so is Gabriel for trials potentially, so I feel like he's going to put that to work and really work for top position.
Those training videos have been very interesting, right?
That's true.
We've had some really kind of like good, like fly in the wall kind of videos coming onto the onto Jacob's Instagram, onto Homolo's Instagram. And those guys are really going hard. Like, what do you think the push is for no gi? Because this is traditionally gi season, right? It's got to be ADCC, right?
100%. And Kasai. I think Kasai has come on so strong in the last year that people want to be on that show. Which, by the way, guys, you should pay attention to those trials events because there is only, I think, 24 guys or less in that 205 trial position for the 205 tournament. Man, you could do that. I mean, an elite guy could go in there and potentially qualify. So if you aren't talking to the Kasai people yet and you want on the show, definitely keep an eye out for the next qualifiers because you could get in and, man, you could really blow your name up doing that.
Man, we actually saw some breakout stars from those qualifier events as well, right? I remember Junior Ocasio won the first one. Nick Calvanese got his shot on there. It was Pierre Leclerc, I think.
He was like the runner.
He's a replacement.
He was like the runner-up. Yeah. I think he lost to...
Who took the welterweight one?
I forget who he lost to.
Oh, man. I'm blanking. Was it Ethan? Ethan Cranston in the featherweight one?
No, Ethan won an undercard match, I believe, impressively.
Oh, that's right.
He beat Junie.
Kind of qualified that way.
Yeah, Junie there.
But anyway, you're right. There is, the Kasai Pro qualifiers can, it gives you a shot to get onto the main show. And Chase, I believe that the guy, the Pedro Mourinho guy who won, he's only a purple belt.
He's only a purple belt. That's and crazy. It's funny, actually, that he managed to give pull off the win here. Yeah, give him a brown belt. Because Felipe Pena actually... pulled us aside at Nogi Worlds and said, "Hey man, I got a student I really want you guys to check out. He's at Worlds right now. He's doing great. He took first that day, I believe. And now he's on the same card as Felipe. So that could be a little complicated, but I imagine he'll want to chase down his coach and take the title if he can, man. Imagine that. Yeah. That'd be insane.
Yeah.
We also got to give a shout out to
that
Mateus
Lutz.
That's
crazy. They're in the same division, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like,
that's who must have won. That's who won the most.
Mateus Lutz is the other, really, I think, perhaps the most successful breakout star from Kasai. I mean, he's made a name for himself now in Spider, and he's won everything in IBJJF as well.
Had a bunch of return super fights as well. He obviously impressed enough with his performance. He got invited back a bunch of times, right? So.
Anyways, Kasai is definitely, I think, a launch pad for a lot of guys' career right now. And it's cool to see Nogi doing that. I feel like Nogi has more been an avenue to showcase your skills that you've already developed. But now guys are succeeding in Nogi and then going back to the Gi, to the open tournaments. So I think it's a little bit interesting.
And I love the Dante versus Edwin matchup. I mean, of course, those two guys are two of the most dynamic black belts in the game right now. Like, those guys, both submission hunters. You know, we haven't seen Edwin in a little while, so it's kind of a comeback for Edwin. But I also love the idea of kind of, building up a number one contender maybe for Hanato Kanuto's either 155 or 170-pound belt. You know, maybe the winner of that super fight in the future.
I don't think everyone's getting down to 155.
Yeah, true. Joiner is 170, probably.
He did say goodbye lightweight. He's looking pretty big. It's interesting to know as well. You mentioned, of course, obviously Edwin's going to face Dante, but Dante signed up for Pants next week as well. So another guy who's bouncing between gi and no gi. I love that, man.
I did too.
I love that. That just show up. You know, he had a great super fight against on Kasai Super Series against Mateus Lutz as well, just in February. The guys that really impress me the most are the guys who just turn up and fight, no matter what the format. Doesn't matter the rules, doesn't matter the gi or no gi, they just show up, you know? And I got to say, I've probably got more respect for those guys than almost anybody else. It's just, way to just put yourself out there.
They're out there doing it. Yeah. That's what we're all waiting to see. So, like you said, Edwin coming back is high on my list of things for 2019.
Yeah. And it's a gamble, right? It's a gamble when you go out there and you don't, and you know, one weekend it's the gi, one weekend it's no gi, and maybe you're fighting a more of a specialist in either. So it's a gamble, but I do love, like you said, that Dante and a lot of some of those other guys, just the Marcelo Garcia guys especially, just whatever. You want me to wear the gi or not? Doesn't matter to me. It's jiu-jitsu. I love that mentality.
Let's wrap up the show real quick. Just go back to PANS because it's right around the corner. There's a lot of very interesting storylines leading up to this. For me, I think this is a make or break tournament for Leandro Lowe. Mm-hmm. You know, he had the crushing disappointment of the silver medal at Worlds last year. Came back most recently and lost the super fight to Marigali there. We've heard that he's re-energized, that he's refocused, that he's got something to prove coming in. But you know, what else stands out quickly for you guys at PANS? What are the big stories that fans should be aware of?
Well, I think as you said earlier, you know, the absence of returning champions means some new stars could be crowned. I'm looking forward to Levi maybe continuing his campaign. You know, he made a huge name for himself, but there are some doubters. They say Lucas was tired at Europeans and, you know, maybe wasn't the best shape. So maybe Levi goes out and does it again at PANS and proves those guys wrong.
Yeah, has some things to answer for.
How about you, Reed?
Man, just because it's at the front of my mind, I just got back from Las Vegas, where I was out there filming some little movies. Be on the lookout for that in the coming months. I had such a great time out there in Las Vegas and got to see. I hung out with Renato Canuto, Mikey Musumeci, and Roberto Jimenez, and I believe all three of them are going to be out in PANS, and I think that I'm extremely excited to see all three of them. Renato Canuto, you know, a brown belt world champion, placed silver at the Worlds last year, never won PANS in his entire career. So that's
I believe he lost to Marcio André last year, right?
Yep. Or
I think 2 years ago.
Two years ago.
Okay, thank you.
2 years ago. And so he's never won PANS, and that's, you know, one that he really, really wants. He's really, really motivated to finally win that PAN title, especially at black belt. So really excited to see Renato. Mikey Musumeci in there at Roosterweight. And man, I had some conversations with Mikey over the weekend that just absolutely blew my mind. I love the way he approaches jiu-jitsu. His perspective on jiu-jitsu is just so different from anybody else out there. And I love watching him compete. I'm obsessed with the Barambolo. After watching him train, I'm like, I need to do more Barambolo.
You missed last week with Barambolo at the gym.
Yeah. So I'm super excited to see him. And then, of course, it's the brown belt debut of Roberto Jimenez, the IBJJF brown belt debut of Roberto Jimenez.
One other brown belt making her debut as well. Similar situation, of course. Roberto wasn't able to compete because of the eligibility period, right? Mm-hmm. That you have to be a purple belt for 18 months before you can start competing as a brown. So if you get promoted before that, you have to wait for the full 18 months on the calendar before you sign up. Gabriella Passana.
I was seeing that, yeah.
Yeah, so Gabby, as we know, purple belt, double gold champion at Worlds last year, got her brown belt on the podium. She'd only been a purple belt for, I believe, less than a year at that point. She won gold medal at every Grand Slam this season. Again, Tokyo, LA,
beating black
Rio.
Belts.
Beating not just black belts, beating two-time world champion Nachiele De Jesus. Not once, but twice in that series of events as well. So Gabby, 18 years of age, showing that she's not just any old brown belt. She's like right there, but this is her first opportunity to compete as a brown belt in IBJJF. And you know what? This is crazy because I spoke to her coach about this at Europeans, and he said, oh, she's going to be in for PANS and she's going to do Worlds. But if she wins Worlds, then he's going to pretty much promote her as black belt. Because what else is there to do?
Yeah, you know? I mean, she's already beating black belt, so it's kind of an awkward situation almost. But how long will she be out of competition from the IBJJF again?
Man, until like the probably roughly PANS next year.
Hopefully.
Because it's going to have to be one
year.
Worth
it. Just go after the UAE, I think.
Exactly. Yeah. There's an opportunity for her there. She can go off and do other stuff in the meantime. But wow.
Yeah, we didn't get to talk too much about brown belt, but brown belt also, you know, of course, is always one of our favorite divisions to watch, and just as stacked this year too. And you know, we love watching the purple belts too. Those divisions are just as competitive as well. So
definitely stay tuned for some in-depth analysis coming out early next week for both the color belt divisions.
And they go on day one, right?
That is purple belt males go day one.
So blue and purple belt men go on day one.
Yes.
I believe purple belt women go on day two.
Day two.
And then there's a lot of masters. And then the absolute, black belt absolute. And I believe, depending on the size of the division, some of the weight class matches will happen on Saturday. Mm. But the absolute is on Saturday for the black belt. So if you want to see those guys go, make sure you keep an eye out for that. And then Sunday is the big day because that's black and brown belts, all divisions, and of course the finals.
So, Sunday's insane. It's the funnest day.
Nope. Yeah, it is. Basically, you just turn the TV on at 9 a.m. You don't turn it off until it's finished.
I mean, that's
right?
Not what I'm doing, but not what that's what doing, you should be doing at home, I
exactly,
think.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, guys, you can watch PANS on Floor Grappling starting on Thursday next week. Plenty of more action in between. Don't forget Fight to Win this weekend coming up. Fight to Win 105 with Isaac Bayens versus Vitor Oliveira in the main event. And plenty more events coming up over coming weeks. Guys, we'll see you again. Not next week because we'll be in California for PANS. But we'll see you back here again for another episode of Fistful of Collars soon.